In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My name is Patrice Augustine. I am a pastor. I like to just call my name first and tell you who I am. I am pleased. I'm an extension of the other brothers and sisters that you've been having in the congregation. And I'm pleased to be here with you today. When Pastor Stephen contacted me to bring this word, I truly felt it was quite an honor to be the one bringing the word and the one being called on to do so on this beautiful Sunday morning. And I don't take it lightly. I thank you for receiving me, for praying, for creating an atmosphere. I've been feeling a heavy presence, I don't know about you, of the Holy Spirit. The service was on point. Everybody was on cue. The Spirit was moving because we... The Spirit was moving because... We didn't just show up. We have been participating. And I pray and trust that as we dive into the thank you, the word for today, the church as God's family, that we will continue to feel. I know we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know it was that powerful. But it's quite encouraging. I pray that we continue to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I think it's confirmed, really, through and through. But I pray that you be blessed, or that you continue to be blessed, because I have been with the songs and the worship and the presence and the warmth and the prayers. And I pray, God, for the Spirit in this building. And I pray that you cherish that which you have. I pray that you guys cherish, encourage one another, support one another, and take from one another as we have all been called by God in Christ to move as a family. That's the topic that I have today. And you've been helping me, really, with all the many pieces. Thank you for the production team in the back, the musician, the greeters, the songs, the atmosphere that's been set. You can tell. Sometimes you don't have to say words, but you convey a welcoming attitude. You know that, right? Sometimes the warmth around you is so welcoming that people feel, okay, that's great. I'm glad I showed up. So here we are again. I'm glad I'm here this morning. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit, most importantly, is here. And I pray that we will continue to move forward as a family and that we will go deeper and higher in Christ. Amen. Pastor Patrice Augustine, again, I bring to you the greetings from my wife, Mildred, who's not here today, but I have two of my sons, Fabrice and Joshua. And I hope that we're going to have a great time today. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. As we go into this as the reading for today, I want to thank the leadership of this church. I want to thank the men of God and the women of God who've been called to serve this church. Pastor Stephen is such a gentleman. I mean, his heart is right. I just love the guy. And I pray that you continue to love on him as he loves on you as a church, as the father of this house. And now I heard it's his birthday. I'm like, man, really? I wish I knew earlier. But happy birthday, Pastor Stephen, if you're listening. I thank God for you and your wife, and I pray that God continue to use you mightily for his glory, and that the works of your hand flourish for the glory of God. Those are my wishes for you. To the leadership of this church, the elders, the boards, the musician, everybody who's doing something in this church, I salute you and I thank God for you. And I pray that God uses you even more mightily for his glory. And even if you're not doing anything yet in the church, just being part of us is important. Sometimes it's not about performing. Sometimes it's about showing up and being. Do you know your presence matters? If there was no second and third row, I would have felt abandoned because everybody else is in the back. So thank you for showing up and sitting up front. Thank you. And I mean that really wholeheartedly. Sometimes you think, no, it won't matter because it just means, no, it does matter. Because your presence adds warmth to the fire. So thank you to all for showing up and for yielding to the Spirit. Thank you, family, again, because we are family, right? We are family in Christ. God has called us from all corners of the world, and God has called us and unified us in Christ, and God has called us, unified us, and given us purpose so that we, in turn, could be witnesses of God's work, so we, in turn, could compel others to that great thing we've been experiencing, which is the life in Christ. Ephesians 12, I don't know if we're going to project it. I was hoping you would. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. I don't know if we're going to project it, or I'll just go ahead and read it. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Verse 17, he came and preached peace, that is Jesus, to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. That's why I called you my brother and my sister. We're no longer foreigners, whether we like it or not. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, verse 21, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Father, we thank you for this marvelous work that is finished in Christ Jesus. Thank you. We are just reaping the benefits thereof. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together. And thank you for speaking to our hearts. We don't know. That would not be Patrice Augustine. I do not know how to speak. I barely know how to write my name. I don't know anything. But you, Lord God, you are the source of knowledge. You know it all. And you can do it all. Have your way in this building. Not just in this physical building, have your way in each and every one of us. That your name might be glorified, that your will might be done, that whatever you prescribe to be done today, both here physically and with our friends streaming online, from near or from far, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. I am so happy to be with you once more. And I am so thrilled that God has started a great work in us. Man, that song about the blessing, I think I've heard it, but there was a different level of anointing on that song when we sung it again. See, my friends, well, my brothers and sisters, you're more than friends, I forgot. My brothers and sisters, the topic of my talk today, I already told you, is the church has God's family. So we're more than friends, we are family. And if we are family, then we must be centered around a daddy. Conventionally, we would be centered around at least a daddy and a mommy. But because we are family in Christ, and we are family in God through Christ, and God is spirit, John 4:24. So we are family in God through Christ by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. John 1:8-12 told us, whoever accepted Christ Jesus, who came in flesh and lived amongst its own, though they received him not, whosoever, the word of God gave to that person the power to become God's child, not by flesh, but by the Spirit. So it's a spirit thing this morning, my brothers and sisters. It's a spirit thing because God is spirit. So we are centered around God in Christ. God wanted a family. He sowed a son so he could reap that family. It's a spirit thing. There was no woman involved. The woman involved was Mary, but she did not become pregnant in the regular way. It was through divine intervention that Jesus had to take on human flesh to come live with us. But that's a different chapter. God, again in the creed that we recited, his only son, not made, the key word was begotten. Same essence as God. Same, light from light. Spirit from spirit. Had he been made, that means God would have needed a woman to make that son. No, the same light of the same spirit. Different functions, but same essence. Why am I taking all this time to bore you some more, which I don't like to do? So you could understand that whatever we hope to get out of this today, only the Spirit of God can do it. Whatever we hope to grasp, whatever we hope to do, whatever we hope to be or to become, only the Spirit of God can do it. The church as God's family. Now that God had wanted that family, always did, and he had sown that son Jesus, whoever believed in him would become God's son or daughter. It's a spirit thing. Whosoever, whichever background, nationalities, creed, ethnicities, and will be clung to God now in the spirit. So that first part, whosoever, clinging to Christ Jesus, that's the calling out. So it's not where we started or who we are or were, or how we got here. This is not the point. The point is, who's calling us? Whose voice are we listening to this morning? The voice of God speaks, or has been speaking, to the prophets in the Old Testament and through, but very few had hearkened to it. This morning, if you feel a tugging in your heart, if you feel like God is speaking to your heart, if you have not made peace with Christ Jesus, that might be your moment. If you feel like when we talk about God's family, you are not in the family, it's not because we cannot get you in. We can only welcome you because the Father is the one that established everything already. And you only can get in through Christ Jesus. And yes, Christ has already paid that admission ticket already. All you have to do is just accept it, grab that ticket, and roll into that VIP section. And it's all VIP, really. We all are VIPs in Christ Jesus. We all are. I hope to get to that point later on, but we already lived that part out, which is my fourth point, through the musicians and the greeters and the production team in the back. We all are in the sense that we have different functions, but we have been and continue to being built so we could help and support one another. There's nothing better than coming to a service when the music is on point. And I bless the name of the Lord for you, my sister, and my brothers and sisters, musician. It's because it's a gift to you that you think it's nothing. I don't even know how to hold a guitar, okay? So I bless, and you are singing and playing. More power to you. See, perhaps God will use me to sing. Perhaps, I don't know. I don't even know how to talk. Perhaps. But the whole point about it is that after you finish building me, then you get to sit down and enjoy me pouring back into you. Are you with me, family? That's the whole point. The first thing about God's family is the calling out. That's the first point. From different corners, different backgrounds, different sets of skills. So God said, I'm calling you out now. You are my people. You are mine. You're under one roof. This is, you have one daddy, one big, huge table. You're sitting at that table. And you're under my dominion. This is the great calling out. Calling out. And that's what the word church actually means. Ecclesia. The called out. So we are called out of wherever we were. Whatever backgrounds we had, whatever situation. So we are called out so God could make us a distinctive, the Bible said, a peculiar people. Not a superior in a sense like you're going to trample someone else. No, a people that has a purpose-driven life. A people that has somewhere to go. A people that has mission in life. A people who knows, man, it might be difficult today, but I'm going to cling into the promise of God because we have somewhere to go. It might not make sense now, but I am holding fast to God's promise because we have a vision to achieve, a people that has a destination, not just on this, not just on the heavenly realm, someday, somehow, but on this earth too. We have a lot of goals to achieve, do we not? We have some milestone to reach. A people that God called out, which is the first point. But he didn't just call you out so you could feel more important or feel superior or feel better than. No, that's not the whole point. God called us out so we could start working together. So we could start appreciating one another. So we could start finding strength in our differences. If everybody were musicians, that would be a great festival. But we would still need, greeters. We would still need, somebody taking care of the food downstairs. We would still need the word to be preached. We would still need everything else in between. And there's a lot of ministries, by the way. The distraction becomes or tends to line up around the fact that we give weight to the visual or verbal ministries, preaching, evangelizing, the one that you get to see. But somebody that stays back and cleans the room, the building, is equally important. You don't want to worship in a dirty building. So kudos to you, because this is equally appreciated. Somebody that makes sure everything is filled out and the building is, kudos to you, the sound as well. So we all serve one another. So we all, so the first point, my friends, is the calling out. Paul tells them in verse 12, remember, he's talking to the Gentiles, remember that you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised. Now you who were once foreigners, strangers, you've been called in and designated as members of the family. So you are no longer people of the outside, foreigners. You are in. But now in this particular context, at least sociopolitically, though it happened in Ephesus, and that church at this time, it was a mixed group, the Jews. And then whoever's not Jews is called the Gentile. Though they both had access to some extent to the temple, but there was a dividing wall. There was somewhat a separation, man-made, in that temple. They went in to worship, but there was a certain intentional degree of separation or limitation or access to that worship because of that dividing wall. So we were not called out to be all superior or to feel superior. No, we're all called out to be one group with different talents, different gifts, different everything. And that's the point. But one group that's solid around the purpose called in Christ, solid with the Spirit of Christ in us, and convinced by the rules and regs that Christ himself dictates. And such rules and regs will not say, oh, you get to be in that VIP section. I only get to be in the room, but not in that section. If it's a VIP section, and I said it earlier, we are all VIPs, right? We all eat the same food if there's a reception. We all drink the same because we are all one in Christ. But at that time, Paul is talking to a group, though they had access to the temple. The Gentiles, there was a dividing wall in the temple of Jerusalem that specifically stipulates, hey, beyond this point, no access to Gentiles. Specifically stipulated. And you know what, in doing some readings, that what really caught my attention, it's the fact that, and I'm gonna get to that in a minute, it's the fact that it was reported by Josephus, which is one of the notorious historians of the first century BC. He reported that there was, and I quote, there was a partition made of stone. Its construction was elegant, note elegant, and upon it stood pillars at equal distances from one another. So the opulence, the elegance, the craftiness, the art of being so meticulous, because we're talking about the Greeks, after all. They were known for beauty and aesthetics. But look, all of that surface, only to tell you when you get close, access denied. Look at the contradiction. All the art form, meticulously placed, same distance from one another, nicely sculpted pillars. I mean, it's a beauty. Only to realize this is as far as you're going to get. Imagine the frustration, my friends. Imagine the deception for you to just behold this beauty, but never know what's behind it. But well, in Christ Jesus, whatever veil had separated Jews from Gentiles, rich from poor, black from white, whichever creeds, backgrounds, ethnicities, denomination you can name, whatever veil, this had been brought down and obliterated in Christ Jesus. This is why we're here this morning. This is why we rejoice so loudly. This is why we clap and stomp our feet and rejoice, because we know there is no more dividing wall. There is no more big me, little you. We are all one in Christ Jesus, because we all have that same spirit. We all have that same access. We all have that same hope, because we all have that same Father who called us. So the great calling out, we're all from different backgrounds, and God called us. Yeah, he called us different for a reason, because he's going to use us to build one another. Man, I wish you could teach me something. I mean that. I'm going to take you on that. You know, I might no longer be embarrassed, you know. That we'll talk after service. He's going to take prayer for me to play and prayer. But who knows? And the more God uses you to build me up, the more encouraged I am around you. Do you realize? The more you let God use that gift in you, Denise has a way, and I told you from day one, God bless you. She controls the room. She's so calm and poised. And God bless you, my. You could see everything go 1,000 directions, but she's calm and collected. And she's, you know, she makes her appearance and she says what she has to say. She just glides through the room like effortlessly. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I told you that already, right? I did, and I mean that from my heart. That's a gift. So if I was showing up here panicking, you know, looking at her, what does that make to me? It reassures me that it's okay. We got this. That's a gift to be cherished. Thank God for you. So family, when we call ourselves family and we know who our daddy is and we know what he deposited in us, we can't help but celebrate one another. We can't help but glorify his name. We can't help but looking forward to more. Because with God, you always go from one level of faith to another level of faith. Amen. The great calling out. So now we're no longer foreigners, right? Right, brothers and sisters? Somos hermanos. I know a little Spanish too. We're no longer brothers and sisters. I mean, foreigners. Now we're brothers and sisters. I'm sorry. Hermanos, hermanas. Because we have one daddy in heaven. Now, after the great calling out, there's the great wielding together. He called us out so he could wield us up together. The unification point. We called out, but we're not just called out to do our thing and to be, okay, I know it's at church, but hey, what's your name again? I mean, I've been seeing you for years. No, we're called to be unified in Christ. We're called for not just union, which is physical, but most importantly, for unity, which is spiritual. We can have a great union, 5,000 members, but I barely know your name, and I could care less. This is not the case here. That's union. But when we are unified in Christ, which is unity, man, your trouble becomes my trouble. Your burden becomes my burden. And I will not rest until I see that smile back in your face. Because what hurts you hurts me. Because you're my brother. Because you're my sister. That's the spirit in Christ. The spirit of Christ, sorry, in us. That's why God has called us. You might not know how to smile. I'll crack a joke and make you smile. So that's my gift. Make you smile. We will find one way to build someone else. So we would find meaning in someone else's company. So now we would be looking forward to that company. So showing up to this building will no longer be a burden. It'll be something I'm looking forward to. You understand, family? It would not be just one more thing in the agenda. It would be, man, I can't wait to share that. I can't wait for us to grab that mic and sing together and give that testimony. Or whatever it is, because we have things to do. We have an agenda to move, the agenda of God, and we have places to go. The great calling out. The great wielding up, bringing together. So no longer that veil is no longer present. However beautiful it looks, the intention is wrong. However aesthetic it might be, the motives are truly derogatory. Only you look that pompous, that great on the surface, only to tell me, stop right there, access denied. The point. No, but in Christ Jesus, that veil is broken. Access fully granted. Not just granted, but fully granted. Not to one, but to all. Not to some, but to all of us. Not sometime, all the time. Not certain days, 24/7. Not on certain feasts during the calendar year. Every second. Because that spirit, that presence, where is he now? He lives in us. So we no longer have to go to that physical temple and hope that we get access. We become that temple. We carry the Holy Spirit. We carry the light. We carry, so we are the embodiment of that which we're rushing to. So now we are it. And because we are it, we have access to it. We can continually tap into it in the shower, in the driving, doing gardening, wherever you are. You have full access. If you are son or daughter of God, and if you have confessed Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I want you to know that you have full access to the throne of God. I want you to be reassured, and I'm sure Pastor Stephen already told you a million times. I want you to know that you have full access. You can call on us, we can help you pray, but you don't have to wait. You can pray yourself, because you have the key too. And no, yours is not a copy. Yours is a master key. So there's a billion master keys. You have that master key too. You have full access. And no, you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to have gone to theology school. No. God is not moved by your eloquence, though it's needed. If you're going to speak, be eloquent, by all means. But it's not that what moves God. It's the posture of your heart. How could a baby pray then and God listen? And God, really? Because it's the heart. Once your heart can be as pure and as innocent as a baby, then God will listen. And he will let you know too. So you don't have to impress God. Believe me, I tried. It never worked. You just have to let God say, okay, God, I'm sorry. Just do whatever you want to do. Don't try and impress God, friends, brothers and sisters. Just let God rather impress upon you the need, the necessity to draw closer to him. Remember how I started the sermon? It's not a human flesh thing. It's a spirit thing. And because it's a spirit thing, whatever we're going to do or not do, take or not take, achieve or not, is going to be through the spirit. So even if you were to pray God, let the spirit of God move you in that direction. The spirit will give you, it says in Romans, what word to pray. Because we don't know, oftentimes, we don't even know what to ask for. But the Spirit of God will lead us. So it's not my prayer. I am just laying flat and let you fill me up so I could in turn give it back to you. Glory to your name. You want to be we're already a super musician, but you want to be a super duper musician? Because you're already super. I'm adding the duper part. Let the Spirit of God use you even more mightily. Say, God, we've prepared a few, stances, but how about you take over? And I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, God will take that thing to another level because he loves when you put him first, because that's where he belongs. And as you elevate God intentionally, God automatically elevates you as well. It's a spirit thing. So the great calling out and that great wielding together, bringing us together part, is also important because we need that core group to be witnesses to one another and then out into the world. And thirdly, the great building out. Calling out, wielding out, or unifying, and then building or developing. Calling out, because we're dispersed. Now we're called out, and now we're being wielded together as a compact group. But now we're being built or developed. The great building out, or the great developing. Though we are called out, and we are called out with separate and distinct gifts, we're going to continue to be built or developed together, but each and everyone in their respective areas of calling. So I pray, God, that more gifts get discovered in this building. I pray to God that you discover your gift, and I pray to God that you flow in the gifts that you have. And I pray that you cherish what you have too. You might not think it's much because you haven't put spiritual goggles, but if you do, you're going to realize, man, thank God for this. But somebody will also remind you, you know what? You don't realize, but every time you speak up, people get built up. Every time you sing something, every time you show up at the door, every time you greet, we get more people coming back next Sunday. That's your gift. Every time you make the announcement, we got more people giving because you have that gift in you to get it out of their pocketbooks. That's a great gift. I hope. I don't have that gift. I don't have that gift. I don't like to ask. But some people are anointed in that area. And it's no joke because they make it feel like even if you don't want to give, you realize, man, what am I doing? Because that's their gift. That's how God endowed them. And that makes a difference. That makes a difference. So the great calling out, we're not just called out to be whatever, whoever. We are called out to be that core group that God is unifying together and filling in with his spirit, i.e. unifying us and wielding us together. The great wielding out, the great unifying. And then finally, thirdly, the great building out or developing on Christ. We're not being developed on our own. We have not been called by the spirit of the world. We've been called by the spirit of Christ. And because it's by the spirit of Christ, whatever God does in us and through us will also be done by the spirit of Christ, so that the name of Christ will be exalted through and through. So it's great. It's whatever you have, so long as it glorifies God, I pray that it gets magnified in your life. Whatever gifts God already has, that you know, or that you might not even be aware of, I pray that this gift or gifts get brought to life, or more so if there have been, that the name of Christ might be exalted through and through. Ephesians 2, verse 19, 20, and 21. Look how the building is, how the building of these members, the called out, is being done. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Brother, we are of the same household. I'm going to eat all your food. You're in trouble. You better have to go. You're going to have to go to the supermarket, you know, twice a week because this brother can eat. I'm warning you. But it's all in Christ's spirit. It's all in love. But I also pray after I eat all your food that I serve a purpose. I'll cut your grass. I'll fix the bed. I'll make your life also easier so that we benefit from one another. And Christ's name gets glorified. and the kingdom of God gets advanced, and God gains much glory through us. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. So if we're no longer strangers, but look, fellow, we are called fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Which household was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets were talking about him, were they were forerunners, but the guy upon whom all these things has been built on is Jesus, and Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. This is that one stone upon which the entire weight of the house is laid. And if you were to remove it or shake it, the entire house will crumble. Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. So when we are called by God through Christ, and when we let God fill us with the Spirit of Christ, and when we let God develop or build us the great building by his rules and regs, I don't like these words really, by his, because they sound too military, but by his word really in Christ, because it's built upon Christ, no secularism will shake it. I mean, no, I know things are so trendy. This day you see this, and next week you see this. Things will always come and go, but when you are built on that solid foundation, when your life is built on Christ Jesus, you can rest assured, tough times will come. You bet they will. But they only come to confirm that which you're built upon is solid. Don't be discouraged. How are you going to tell me you're going to be a top first round pick? You're tall. I love basketball. Basketball player, and then you're just going to sit every week and declare it so? Or you're going to be put on that field and be tested? And we're going to know you are really serious when they start double teaming you, right? Now it's not even one-to-one. This brother is so good. We're going to have two guys on him. And in some instances, we're going to have... So from me sitting on my couch watching, it looks like torture. But from the coach who took all his time building you, it's a compliment. You've done such a great job. It takes three of mine to compete with one of yours. Bravo, coach. Job well done. That's what it means, brothers and sisters. So don't look at it. See, that's why you have to have the Spirit of Christ in you. So you'll not be distracted by the things that are happening in the world, because they will happen. They will. The enemy will right at the gate of the church, right before service, try to distract you. Try to take you out. Yes. Right? Yes. That's the point. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Yes. Yes. He will try. I know I couldn't. I tried last month. I tried last week. I tried last night. Let me do that last-ditch effort right before service. And not just you. It would have distracted or demoralized all of us. But God. So every time you look at events through these lenses, you can't help but praise the name of God. You can't help but say, God, you are faithful. You let him do his little thing. You let him think he's going to win, only for you to gain more glory out of it. He wasn't even part of my sermon. Now I'm giving you glory for doing it. The devil is a loser, a sore loser. You guys understand? He wasn't even part of my sermon. You didn't even plan to testify, my sister. So now we're all rejoicing for you, for what God has done. What a loser. He never learns his lessons. He never does. Brothers and sisters, I am encouraging you in Christ. You've been called already. You're no longer a foreigner. You have full access. And you've been called. You're not empty. You're being filled out. That's the second point. You're not just called to be on your own. You're called to be part of a body. That's the unifying part. The building, the calling out, and the wielding out. So you're not on your own. You have brothers and sisters praying for you, interceding for you, helping, visiting, rebuking the enemy. I mean, encouraging whichever way, shape, or form it takes. And when that's not enough corporately, you also being developed or built on a personal level and also on a regular basis. Because Christ Jesus is the chief cornerstone. This is what we just read. I believe I might have just 5 more minutes, right? I don't want to go over. Are we going? Okay. All right. I don't want to be that guy, you know. So help me, God. So help me, Jesus. All right. So you're not on your own. You are called out, you and I, but we were called out so we could be wielded out. So now we have a group, we have a community, we have belonging, we have... There's a sense. There's a sense to your gift. Because if you sing to yourself, you can only sing. But if you sing to, and I'm built up, then I'm pumped up, then you sing more. I don't know if you realize, you want to get the best out of a preacher, and that's my experience, have a great worship service. You want to get the best out of your pastor, serve him the way he serves you. This guy will be on fire some more. And I know Pastor Stephen, I see his heart. His heart is right. You want to get the best out of him? Give him your best and see how he doubles the best he already gives you. How's that for a deal? You want to get the best out of your parents, kids, children, youth? Serve them. Serve them at home. I know it's not popular. Serve them. The best way to get money out of mommy and daddy is truly to serve. And believe me, I tried that one too. Well, not with any tricks, but it's true. Because the more you serve, the softer the hearts become towards you. And it's natural for them to pour out. It's my turn. You've been pouring it, so now it's my turn. You wanna see God move miraculously in this building? Then find an area of service and pour your gifts. And see God in turn pour back into you. You want to see these chairs filled and people standing in the back in the overflow, and we have to do 2 or 3 services? Then find an area, and after you've received all this and you know who you are, then pour out. Serve. Are we getting anything out of this? Yeah. Are we? Because I've been known for being a loud guy. Cause trouble. I hope I'm not. Friends, brothers and sisters, you can tell I'm excited too, because I love seeing people win. It's one thing about me. I don't know, for better words. I love seeing people progress. I love seeing not just movement, progress. Because you could be in motion and go nowhere. But I love to see progress. I love to see forward motion. But we can only progress only if we have Christ Jesus as our chief cornerstone, the Spirit of God in us, and we have that compass who tells us, don't worry, you might be out of a job for 2 years, but guess what? You're still moving forward. It's only God that can make such declaration and truly make it come to pass. Why do you mean God? There's been no money. Yeah, but your bank account has no money. But look at all these areas where you're progressing. So you're still on track for what I'm calling you to. You're still being taken care of, aren't you not? Are you not? I'm still doing A, B, C. God, you're right. I didn't let you pay for it, but I never let you go without it. I didn't let you pay. See, you kept tripping on your own expectations, thinking that you have to be the one working and then sitting back and then writing the check and then putting in a cute envelope and so you could have your own satisfaction. No. In that season, I let you stop working so I could show you what I've been working behind the scene. The bottom line was to get this thing paid. Is it not paid? The bottom line was to get this kid through school. Are they not? The bottom line was to pay this hospital bill, whatever it is. Is it not taken care of? So did I not keep my promise as God? Yes. I didn't use your methods, I didn't fulfill your expectations, but I still came through as God. Because I will not be limited by circumstances, events, mishaps, or what have you. I am God. From everlasting to everlasting, I remain God. So when you let yourself be guided by that Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, when you let God write, and boy, those are heavy words, the pages, the events destined to you in the pages of His book, when you let Him guide you, yeah, things will be difficult, but you would rest assured that you know the end, because He who's walking with you knows the end. And my last point, ladies and gentlemen, is the great giving out. The great calling out. After the great calling out, now we are the great, we go to the great wielding out. We will fuse together. We work together as community. And then we have the great filling out. We fill with the Spirit, both corporately and individually. But now, after all these beautiful things, we know who God is. We're no longer foreigners. We have a destination. We have a daddy. We have an identity. I know where I'm going. I know. If I don't make it home, I know where I'm going. My kids know. There is no doubt. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is none. That spirit of death could not take you, because Christ already paid for your death. You will die at your appointed time, but not today. Yes. Not today. Back up, devil. Not today. Because God has an appointed time for you. And until you fulfill all that you have to fulfill, no devil in hell could take you. That's the preacher and me kicking in. Now pray for me. Pray. I'm warning you. No, I'm kidding. No devil in hell can do it. And sometimes we have to put it all together in perspective. I know it's heavy. That's why I'm trying to break it out with a little jokes, because it's really heavy materials. But I felt it too when I came here. I felt that heaviness. And I'm like, something is not right. We need to break that spirit in Jesus' name. And God give us victory. So now the great calling out, my friends. The great wielding out. The great filling out. After all of this, God is expecting us to pull out the great giving out. That's the last point. You're not going to be just called out to be cute and stand by yourself. You're going to be called out to be brought in community so you could benefit from one another and sharpen one another and become better by one another. And after that, you're going to be moved to that still corporate development and also personal development. That's the great filling out. Calling out, wielding out, filling out. After all these 3 points, you still feel of God's grace and praise and glory and testimony. You're going to be what? You're going to become like a balloon. What's going to happen? It's time now for you to spill it all out. Let people know how great God is. Let your neighbors know. Let people at work know. Remind one another how faithful God is. You might not have a mic and preach, but guess what? Through your service, through your dedication, to your warmth, to your love. It might not be a verbal or apparent ministry, like I said earlier. It might not be one. They've narrowed it down to 2 type of gifts, serving and speaking. Speaking are the verbal gifts, prophecy, teaching, exhorting, and leading. But the serving gifts are equally important. Sometimes the one who's quiet and who says nothing is the one praying heavily for the church. Sometimes the face you don't see is the face that stands before God the most and intercede for all. Sometimes the voice you don't hear is the voice that resonates louder in God's ears on behalf of it all. So I'm encouraging you. You don't always have to be the one that they see. But be certain that you be the one that God hears all the time. You don't have to be in my face, but see to it that your mouth be in God's ear. See to it. See to it. Because in so doing, God will exalt you. God will bless you. God will heal you. God will heal you and your family. God will cause great things to happen because of you. God will prosper you. God will multiply you. God will cause his blessings to come upon you because you're doing it right. The great calling out, the great wielding out, the great filling out. And now, church, folks, my brothers and sisters, hermanos y hermanas, the job, the ball is in all of our court. We have a lot of work to do. The great giving out. I pray that these words bless you. I pray that you were edified. And I pray that God will continue to do his work in you. May God bless you.